here's something we hope you'll really like.
You're listening to
Creating Daily.
There's something wrong with you. You know that?
Because you and I are like a mullet. Sid is the business, so he's the front part of the haircut, and then I'm the party in the back.
I think they're hilarious.
Speaks to me. It's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Creating Daily. I'm your host, Billy Thorpe, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking about how do you build your podcast community? Not just your podcast audience, but your podcast community. I believe there's a big difference, and I'm going to see if my friend Kane Barron does as well. Kane is a phenomenal podcaster, phenomenal coach, mentor, and actually helps run one of the largest independent podcast agencies in the UK. So he's got a lot of knowledge and helped, I think, launch over 150 different podcast in his career so far, maybe even more, but that was the bio that I read. So I'm really excited for him to come on here in just a few minutes. But before he does, I do have a couple of segments lined up. But before I do that, I want you to hit that subscribe button wherever it is closest to you. If you're watching on Bullhorn, if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're listening to this replay on a podcast player, find that follow button and hit that follow button. Subscribe to the channel as we are bringing on creators of all kinds to inspire you in your creator journey every single day. Well, Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern time to be exact. And you can join us live or I upload the episode shortly after. But make sure you hit that subscribe button so you get notified of that. Oh, and already got somebody over here in the chat. What's up? The hat is back from Sid Meadows. Yes, Sid, the hat is back. It's not backwards, though. And anytime I'm wearing a hat, just so you guys know, it's because I probably need a haircut, or I'm just having a bad hair day, or I really just don't care. Maybe that's it as well. All right. Anyway, enough of my shenanigans. Let me get over to tool time and let's get it.
What? It's tool time with Creating Daily.
All right. So on this segment, I always share like a tool or software, something that I use as a creator. And I don't know if you can really see this in the screen or not, but these are the Shure SE215 Pros. These are wired earbuds. And they're the earbuds I use every single day. I wear these things for hours and hours and hours, and they're super comfortable. They did take a little time to get used to, but you can get them on Amazon. I think this price right now is like $89 or something like that. But go to onesheet.pro/BillyThorpe. You can see my affiliate link there because, as you guys know, that's one way to monetize. And you can see these are the black ones, and they're pretty awesome. I probably would have got the clear ones because there's people I know that have the clear ones, and I'm like, hey, put your headphones on. They're like, dude, they're here. And I'm like, oh, I should have got those because you wouldn't be able to tell I was wearing headphones. So anyway, all right, so that is my tool time for you. Now let's jump over to some creator highlights.
Creator highlights.
No cooking necessary, no assembly required.
It's got to be funky.
All right, today's creator highlight is brought to you by my friends over at Maven Coffee. So you can ditch that old brew that you got that is probably cheap and gross for you and check out Maven. These guys are crushing it. This is small batch Colombian coffee. I talk about them all the time. They are amazing. All right, so that's all I can say about that. And I'm not really, I would not call myself like a coffee snob. But actually, if it wasn't for Maven, I probably wouldn't be drinking coffee because I honestly didn't like it before. But check it out. It's super good. I know Sid over in the chat has had it. So please, Sid, drop all your good reviews there in the chat. Now, today's creator highlight goes to my friends Chris Stone and Jim Fuse. They are Amazon. They do a lot of creator stuff, but they're Amazon Live creators, and they're literally helping people overcome the fear of gear, and they're doing this through different types of interviews and creating different types of content over on Amazon Live. Now, if you're not familiar with Amazon Live as a creator, you should go check it out. And if your audience is big enough, it is a fantastic way to make some additional revenue every single day. I make revenue over there every single day. And I follow the dualcasters, and I just copy what they do because they crush it, and they're doing a fantastic job. So go check those guys out. It's dealcasters.live, and you can see their channel, you can see their page, and all that fun stuff. Super, super great guys, super great content creators as well. And here's what I often say is success leaves clues. So go find some people that are crushing it in whatever it is that you want to crush it in and follow what they do and make it your own. All right. So I won't get into like, just you get what I'm saying. All right. So, but anyway, now let's move right on because I'm excited. I got my friend Kane on in the wings here, and he's going to come on. We're going to talk about building your podcast community. So without further ado, Kane, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Man, I'm doing good. I don't even know why I have segments before. I blast them as fast as I can. I drink too much coffee, and then I go sporadic on it. But anyway, probably not good podcasting.
Not good stuff.
Dude, that Maven coffee, man, is so good. It is so good. Anyway, I'll get off of that. Mitch.
Yeah, well, look, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Well, I met you on Clubhouse, or we met on Clubhouse, I should say. You guys run rooms over there, I believe, every Thursday morning my time, because you're in the UK.
That's it. 2 p.m. UK time. So I think that's 9 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, I believe so. Yep. So, man, it is a good time over there. You guys are always bringing the value. You, your partner, Tom. I can't remember the other gentleman's name that's in the middle of you
Alex.
Guys. Alex. There we go. But yeah, you guys are always crushing it and doing a great job. And so you actually intrigued me because you're talking about building a podcast community. I believe it was a couple weeks ago now. And I was in the process at that time of launching a membership. And so you guys had touched on that a little bit as well. And I was like, man, I got to have you on the show. And let's really dive into this subject. So I guess my first question for you, not that this is like a Q&A, we'll just kind of have a conversation, but is there a difference in an audience and a community? Or in your mind, are they the same thing?
Yeah, they're definitely a different thing. The words can be used interchangeably, and I've probably been made that mistake, but they are definitely a different thing. You know, you can have an audience that people just observe you, but a community is something much deeper than that. And I think it's reciprocal, because it's so easy, especially as a podcaster, where there's no, you know, there's the reviews, but there's no comment section and there's no live element. There's, you know, there's no back and forth. There's no, you know, all you see is download numbers. Mm-hmm. I think it's very easy just to have an audience, but I think it becomes a community when you go that step further and you start being reciprocal and you're building a place for them to congregate, whether that is a, you know, a Discord server, a Facebook group, on a premium content site, which I'm sure we'll talk about, because that's how I would do it. And I recommend everybody to do it, is having an actual paid for community. Yeah. But they're 100% a different thing.
Gotcha. So you're, in your experience, and I know you guys have launched, I said 150. I think that was the last thing I read, maybe more now. I'm sure it goes up every day.
Yeah.
But in your experience of launching those, how many of those people have you helped launch communities for? Or is that a part of your packaging? Is that what you put in there?
Yeah, so it's a pretty new thing that we've been doing for sort of our wider clients and our wider community. So it's something that as an agency, we've been doing on sort of the small scale for, you know, just a couple of people for about 2 or so years.
Okay.
But actually, just in 2020, end of 2021, we've now started doing training and actually take over it for our clients. So it's something that we've been preaching, you know, for ages. And so, you know, you should really do this. You should really do this. This is how you do it. But a lot of our clients, you know, they're outsourcing the production of their podcast to us anyway. They're busy people, they're family people, they own businesses, whatever. So we finally sort of put in the infrastructure to be able to run all that for them. Our chosen site is Patreon. You know, it's got a lot of brand trust. People know what Patreon is, but, you know, there are other membership sites available.
So when you talk about platforms, man, I know you're talking about Patreon. I know you're talking about like maybe Buy Me a Coffee or whatnot. Yeah. But is there a step before that? Like, should I immediately start asking people like to pay me for additional content, or should I start like a Facebook group or a Discord and like kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, like funnel people into a community, get to know them better on a personal level, and then make an offer? Or should I just go right out the gate like, hey, what's up? Here's my new podcast. By the way, here's my Buy Me a Coffee, like sign up for a membership. Like, which strategy should I go after there?
Neither is the answer.
Perfect.
So you don't want to build a free community, because then you're just cannibalizing future sales.
Okay.
You know, so it is... sort of like when Apple released the first Macintosh, if they was giving out like free iPods, you know, it is later on down the line. So I say you can build a community-ish through audio only, through podcasting, by reading out your reviews, asking people to leave reviews, you know. So at the end of my episodes, or sometimes at the beginning, I will ask people to leave a review and put an episode that they'd want me to cover. So I've got the Podcasters Podcast. So I do educational content for creators similar to you. And people might ask specific questions like, oh, I need a review on this microphone or this editing software, or how do I get guests? How do I monetize? Whatever. Mm-hmm. And I can just read out that comment saying, oh, hey, you know, Billy's asked, what's your favorite way to monetize, or how do I scale my show? So I go, you know, at the beginning of that episode, shout out, Billy, this episode's for you. We're going to talk about scaling up your podcast audience.
Okay.
So you can sort of, you can build that back and forth, but then your community should always be paid for. One, it's really high value to your audience, so you might as well monetize it because it is a product that they want. It is valuable to them. So I think a lot of people shy away from doing a premium content model because of imposter syndrome. They think, you know, who's going to pay me for that? You know, why should I charge people for that? It is valuable, so do pay, you know, do charge for it. But I would say, you know, 6 months in, you can start doing that. You can definitely start having your premium content model, because first of all, it takes time to build up. You know, your first 6 months, you might only have 100 people, 200 people subscribing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then, you know, the year after that, that goes up to 1,000 people. You know, it does compound. So really, to the short of it, to answer your question, is don't give away your community at the beginning. Focus on building your audience. Then once you build your audience, convert them into being in the community.
Okay, that's a good takeaway. I like that approach to build. So first of all, start that community building from day one as far as creating interactive segments on your show. I think this is hugely important. And I think for my fishing show, we probably did this, but it's actually probably by just mistake. It was probably just by listening to other, you know, podcast hosts that I was learning from and hearing them do it. And so I just, with nothing in my mind of any return on that investment, I would just do that. Like, hey, leave us a comment, leave us a rating, leave us a review. And one thing that we started doing early on as well was we set up a Buy Me a Coffee, but it didn't have any membership stuff, no monthly commitments. It was just like, hey, if you enjoy this content and you want to support us as creators, feel free to buy us a coffee. And by the way, when you leave a comment, tell us what you want to know about on the show. And so we were able to generate one, revenue, and then two, that engagement portion that we are missing, like with this live stream where I can say, hey guys, leave a comment or whatever, and we can engage live versus they're going to listen to this 3, 4, 5 weeks after I record it or whatever for my fishing show. So I love that idea, man, to really keep that and have a purpose behind it. Because oftentimes I think as podcasters, we're just like, I just want them to hit that follow button, man. I just need them to hit the follow and give me a review so I can get some, you know, I can get some clout in the podcast world of being, you know, whatever. But man, I love that, Kane, that you said, like, start it from the beginning of creating and curating that conversation, because that is, in my opinion, the difference between a community and an audience. A community is that conversation back and forth, and an audience is just listening to me and kind of observing, you know, observing at their will. So all right. So we're talking about building that engagement a little bit. So how do you take that a level deeper? So you've been doing this for like 6 months. Now you're at the 6 month mark. Maybe you guesstimate that you have 300 or 400 subscribers. What's my next step?
Straight away, I would create an ad for your own show. So, you know, forget sponsors for now. And
oh, man, you hurt my heart when you say forget sponsors.
I said for now. Yeah, I know. That's why I added the for now. But sponsor your own show, because this is the way that I personally see it, whether it's right or wrong, is you'll make a lot more money renting out, like, space, you know, your real estate to your clients rather than, like, somebody else, like finding a sponsor that, you know, only some of the audience might have synergy with. So for example, you know, I could get Shure or Zoom, you know, all these audio hardware brands that do podcast equipment, audio equipment. Yes, they could sponsor my show and they might be useful to a lot of my audience. But what if everybody's already bought their first lot of equipment? Well, then actually, you know, there's not going to be a huge ROI there for the sponsor, and therefore they might not sponsor me for a lot of time, like continuously. Whereas every single one of my listeners likes me. Otherwise, they wouldn't be listening. Yeah. You know, they see value in the information I give them. So I'd way rather pay or have them pay me, say, £5, £10 every single month, or, you know, whatever currency you have every single month for more information. Because a microphone's great. You know, they could buy, you know, a microphone, a recorder, a ring light, whatever. And then they only need that once.
Yeah.
But the information on, like, how do I continually level up? How do I make sure I'm making the most money? I'm being the most time efficient. I'm on all the new platforms. I'm in the know. Well, actually, the information's way more valuable, and therefore they're more likely to pay for it. And that's my opinion, and what I've seen from my experience. So I would produce an ad, a really high quality ad for about 20 seconds. There's a mid-roll, goes in the beginning of your show, you know, just one you record once, and then you can, you know, keep using it, which is essentially the buy me a cup of coffee pitch.
Yeah.
Something along the lines of like, hey, look, if you enjoy listening to this show and you want more content and you want extra access to me, then for the price of a cup of coffee, you know, $5 a month, you'll get an extra episode each week and you get access to my closed Facebook group where I do a live Q&A every month where I guarantee I answer your question, all for $5 a month. Go to, you know, bit.ly/Kane's podcast. And, you know, put the link in all of your show notes and just put that on every single episode that you do. You could run a launch promotion, which I know you did really successfully, to get those early adopters. Yeah. Reward your loyal fans for taking action. Always encourage that. But that's sort of the first step. And it's pretty simple. Just produce a effective 20-second ad saying why people should join your premium tier level, what are they going to get? And then leave it at that. That's the start. Gotcha.
Yeah, man. Okay, that's really good. You know, I always think that too. And now that I've done both, so in the beginning, I went after sponsors. So that was the goal. I knew I just had this niche audience, a more pure audience, which I know I get like this fits some models, doesn't fit some models. So I'm not the end all like sponsor guy. However, I made a lot of money off sponsorships. And we've built a lot of amazing relationships with those sponsors as well. And so for us, it was a little bit of the opposite. It was a little bit of go get those sponsorship relationships, build that line of revenue first. And then phase two is now just a three weeks ago today. Hey, we're going to launch this membership. And now we've had over 160 something people sign up. And it was that, I believe, and we probably could have done this way earlier. I mean, I think to your point, it's like you don't have to wait 24 months like we did. You can, I mean, it's literally been 24 months since we launched our first podcast, and now we're on episode 3 of our additional content. I'm like, man, we probably could have done this 6 months in and been building over the last year and a half versus, you know, now trying to go, okay, cool, let's get people in. So yeah, I'm with you on that, man. If I could rewind the clock a little bit, I would have started way earlier, just making it an offer. And but I definitely think it has to do with like bandwidth too, man. So let's talk about that for a minute, because I think a lot of podcasters are probably like, yeah, dude, I'd love to get paid, I'd love to do this, but it makes us all look like idiots if you start something and you just don't show up. And I know a lot of people reach out to me about other shows that are like, hey, do you know this guy? Because I'm paying for Patreon and he's just not doing what he said. And I'm like, just cancel your Patreon. I don't know. So let's talk about that for a second. How do you balance that? And how do you vet a podcast to say, hey, are you ready for a membership? How would I do that? How would I qualify my own show? That's my question.
Well, that's actually a really good question. It's a really good point. And I was discussing this on the room we were in together earlier in Clubhouse, talking about sponsorship's great. And you'll see why a lot of big podcasters do sponsorship, because they are busy people and they would way rather earn, I don't know, maybe it's 20%, maybe 50% less, but just get a sponsor and they have to do no work at all. Whereas with premium content, you know, you're going to have to build a community. You're going to have to engage in that community, at least at the beginning. You're going to have to create extra content. And it, you know, twice as much work, if not more. So in terms of, am I ready? I don't think there's an exact science to it. Do you have enough hours in your diary? What's the minimum requirement, I believe, to having a premium content model for most people, and I'll tell you a caveat in a moment, is a bonus episode of content at least every fortnight, every other week. But probably, ideally, if you could do an extra piece of content for your audience every single week for, say, $5, $10 a month, that's what you should be aiming for. Now, the caveat is some podcasters will do a remove the ads, which I like, for, you know, $2, $3 per month. That's genius because you're then getting paid by the sponsor and the premium content model. So, like, for example, you know, like Joe Rogan, one of the biggest podcasts on the planet, you're like 10 minutes in before he ever, you know, he just starts talking. Now, there are, his is sort of a bad example because it's right at the beginning, but there are some podcasters that have two sponsors and they do pre-roll, mid-roll, another mid-roll. I probably, if that's your favorite podcaster, £2 a month for, let's say their episode 60 to 90 minutes every single week. That's a good deal to remove those ads uninterrupted. So when I'm driving, all I'm getting is the content I like, not getting pitched by Squarespace or whatever it may be. So that's really good. But that's a harder sell. That's easier when you're a big podcast and yeah, you've got big numbers, because it doesn't bother enough people for it to change. So we spoke about this earlier. So industry-wide, 5 to 15% of people that listen to your podcast for free will convert. However, that's normally because you've got a good stack. You know, you're doing bonus episodes, you've got a community, you're doing discounts on merch or whatever it is, you're doing in-person events.
Yeah.
I would suspect, and I haven't seen any data on it, that removing the ads, is the amount of people that subscribe solely for that reason is quite short. Not short, but it's quite small.
Yeah.
So I would say, do you have enough time to do it? One extra piece of content to the same, if not higher, standard as your podcast every single week as a bare minimum? If you can do that, you can have a premium content model.
Yeah.
Where when you build a community within your premium content model, it's a lot of work at the beginning. You know, you're doing the conversation, you're engaging with people, you're answering questions because you want them to feel valuable. I actually recommend when launching a community, perhaps you let 30, 50 people in for free or at a heavily discounted rate so that the community is more engaging and it's fuller, because, you know, you don't want to pay £5 a month for, say, a Discord server or a Facebook group that one post per week is put in there, because, you know, you're just going to get buyer's remorse and you're going to cancel. You know, nobody wants that. That sucks. So, but the benefit of having a community in a premium content model is, after a few months, once you, and yours is probably already there with the amount of people you've got subscribed, because people will be engaging with each other. And say I ask a question and then, you know, Billy, you don't even see it, but one of your community members answers it. And then the same thing happens next week. And the same thing happens next week. All I'm seeing is I'm getting so much value out of this group, but because it's got your name on the door, I'm not talking directly to you, but your community is serving me as another community member, then I'm seeing so much value coming from Billy.
Yeah.
And I will continue to pay Billy. So that's what I love about community is, yes, it's a bit of work up front, but sort of down the road, you don't really have to sustain it. It's self-sustaining. So as long as you can commit to doing extra content, you know, every week or every other week, then that's enough to do a premium content model, and everything else is kind of self-sustaining.
Gotcha, man. Yeah, that's it. I'm always about frequency. So the more frequent that you can show up, the more opportunities you have. And this is with, you know, and I specialize more in sponsorship strategy and how to get sponsors and how to land the right sponsors for your show. I'm not the mattress you'll never hear a Casper mattress ad or any of that crap on my podcast, because it's just, sure, everyone sleeps on a mattress, but that's not why they came to my show. And so we really keep it niche, specific. So when you're talking about building these packages, I heard some really good ideas in there, because one thing that we've done is we started out very small, very minimal. Like, we're just delivering an additional show. Like, we don't even have a community membership spot. Like, there's no commenting, there's no engagement with us, there's none of that stuff. It's just, here's this piece of content, that is it. And then as we grow and scale the group, then we plan on adding some additional things in there. So what have you seen that works really well? Because I wouldn't pay $2 not to listen to ads when I can hit the fast forward 30 seconds button a couple times. And, you know, for me, I'm like, I don't really care, because I'm listening to podcasts where I can reach my phone typically. But I would be intrigued if Kane's like, hey, if you were like, hey, Billy, subscribe, and now you get a 20% discount on my merch, a 5% discount on my services or whatever. Now I'm a little bit more intrigued. So talk to me about some of the packaging that you've seen that's really worked.
Yeah, so I can give you an example of exactly what I would do for my podcast. So for example, so I've got a podcast for creators for podcasters, so similar to you. So what I could do, for example, is a £5 a month tier would be a bonus episode per week. And you can always just throw in, remove the ads, because, you know, it's like an extra bullet point you can put on the stack that even if it doesn't affect everybody, it's still a nice to have. So for £5 a month, extra episode per week, it removes the ads. 10 a month, you know, as above, but you'll also get access to my community. So whatever that may be, a WhatsApp group, Facebook group, a Discord server. Generally, I'd pick a closed community where you're able to go live and do live elements as well. It's really valuable. So probably not WhatsApp. £15 a month, you know, as above, but you'll get access. You could pick what episodes you want me to do. So once a month or whatever, or once a year, you get to choose an episode that I will definitely do. And as well as that, I will do a monthly Q&A where I guarantee I answer your question. And then a £25 a month tier could be something like discounts on my training, products and services, you know, as well as everything above, as well as, you know, a once a year or a twice a year meetup. And then £150 a month tier, you know, everything else, but also you get training with me one-to-one once per month.
Okay, gotcha, wow.
So, and that's a sort of a tier that I've seen work quite well. And we look after a health and safety podcast where their tiers start at £27 a month. And it's a community, it's just a closed community where they get one call with the host per week, per month, which is half an hour. And they do one virtual event, like live stream each month, which is normally just a couple of hours, which is a masterminding session. So they have a keynote. And also they just mastermind with each other. I don't know exactly what they talk about because I'm not a health and safety professional, but he's managed to fill it. So it's just a really nice guy from Peterborough, which is where I'm from, which is a really small city in the UK. And he has some of the biggest executives from people like Caterpillar, like billion-dollar companies, wow. And like construction companies and things like this. And they'll pay £27 upwards to essentially be in a Facebook group, get a 30-minute call once per week, per month, sorry, and a mastermind session once per month.
So
now this...
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Well, I was going to just chime in here for a second and ask this question, because I guess it depends on your bandwidth, man, because, you know, we signed 160 people in our membership already. I don't imagine I'm jumping on. I don't imagine I'm answering 160 questions, you know, not that I would be the one answering them anyway in our situation, but, I mean, that's a lot of interaction for a live stream per month. So I guess you got to kind of look at your... Can these packages change over time? Like, because maybe you start out with 10 people and maybe a call a month for 10 people is nothing, but then you get to 100, 2, 3, 4, 5, 600 people, and then you're like, okay, now I'm smoked. Like, how do you handle that over time?
So that's why sort of in my first example stack, the access to me was £150. Because, you know, gotcha. Rarely is somebody going to pay that. And somebody who's willing to pay that.
So just price them out then. Just price
basically,
out.
Basically, yeah.
Price them out. Okay, so gotcha.
Just always have lower tiers should always be pre-recorded stuff, or if it's live, it's got to be one to many.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, man, that makes sense. Because I was sitting there thinking, like, golly, I need, because we only have one package. I'm sure we need more, but I'm sitting there like, live event, no problem. Q&A with everybody gets their question answered 100%. Like, no way. But that makes sense if that was the $150, you know, package deal or whatever. So, all right, cool, man. This is great, man. I think this is a lot of great ideas. And just real quick, while people are tuning in, this is my friend Kane Barron. I, for whatever reason, I haven't put names on the screen. I should probably do that. It's an easy fix. But got a lot of people, you know, chatting over here in the comments. Sid, real quick, he just says, hey, I just fast forward through them. He's talking about when you're talking about ads. Let me see. He said he saw somebody do a 3 minutes worth of ads pre-roll. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And then Nee is just over here talking about how he hates YouTube ads. So he pays for YouTube Premium and he gets a lot of ads on the TV, that kind of thing. So I do think there is an argument to be made for content creators to, you know, keep out the sponsorship deals, especially if they don't make any sense. I mean, my thing is, ours makes so much sense for our show. It just becomes it becomes a segment of the show that just flows. Like, there's really, it's a very entertaining segment, blah, blah, blah. So I think if you set it up right, like, we're stacking both of these income sources. We're not going, oh, well, now we have a membership, we're going to cut our sponsor relationships.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking at my membership content going, oh, there's opportunity for brought to you by a lot of different companies throughout, because we're doing phishing reports in different areas, and that's a lot of value because, you know, we have 100 and some people, but they've downloaded those episodes like over 1,000 times in a week. So it's been pretty crazy to see that, you know, those kind of numbers for that premium content.
Definitely. And look, this is something that's, I should be clear that I sort of have my hierarchy of how I like to monetize content, but the stack is the important thing. So I always refer to your podcast as being an asset class, and you can compare it to, say, let's say I invest in property. So I've got, you know, a buy to let, you know, I'm renting it out, but at best I've got one income stream, you know, a family is paying me rent each month for my house. If I've got a podcast, I can have merchandise, sponsorship, affiliate links, premium content. People can, you know, get to know me through my podcast and then come and buy my products and services, call that trickle down revenue. You know, that's five income streams that are just all stacked and none of them conflict.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the perfect business. You know, I sit in my small room, I talk into a microphone, and you've got various income streams, diversify yourself. So like 100%, I think it's really important that people build their stack, and you do one at a time. You know, it does take time to get up to that, but definitely having multiples really important. And on your point of sponsorship opportunity within your premium content, absolutely. So it's not, we don't have like a monthly premium content model, but we have a podcast mastermind. So we do online education for podcasters, got a podcast agency, and we've got a mastermind. It's so easy to sell a keynote slot onto that mastermind for many thousands of people, because if you've pounds or dollars, whatever it is, sorry, because if you've got a engaged group of people who are willing to pay to be in a community and take time out of their day to spend hours listening to something on a specific topic, for example, podcasting, if you put somebody like I said earlier, Zoom or Shure. I actually reached out to Zoom to talk about sponsorship before. They said no, because we give them so much free promotion. Hey-o, but you know, you can always get affiliate links, which is fine. So we do have an Amazon affiliate program, links for some of our commonly recommended microphones and things. But, or a hosting site or an ad agency or something related specifically to podcasters, even though people have paid to be there, you can still do a content slot from a company. They pay to send one of their employees, or they do it virtually, to do a content into an offer. That actually works really well. So I think that's something that you could look into as sort of the king of sponsorship.
Yeah, man. I love it, man. I'm with you guys. I'm always about stacking because, you know, not everything is 100% all the time. And I'm not going to put all my eggs into the sponsorship basket or the membership basket or the merchant. And that's kind of our three, and I'm not going to say three phases because it might turn into five or six or whatever, but it's sponsorship was our first deal. We were pretty confident we could go out and just with the relationships we already had in the industry, I should say that, you know, it's all relationship based. And then, you know, once we're like, okay, let's build an audience. Then we start a membership. Now we start a membership. Maybe we'll monetize it, you know, a double monetize it or whatever through sponsorships of those different segments. But then once we get that rocking and rolling, then it is now live event opportunities, now merchandise opportunities, and that keeps building. But I do think that in my limited experience of all this, that the membership model is the most scalable model I've seen so far. Would you agree with that?
100%. So this is one thing that's actually not talked about with sponsorship a lot, is that actually, sometimes they have a top. They have a ceiling of how much they're willing to spend on you. So they might agree a CPM, but only up to a certain point.
Yeah.
You know, and not everybody is going to be interested in your content, but on a planet with over 7 billion people, if you know, everybody technically could pay you $5 a month to get access to an extra episode because it requires nothing more on your part. So there's an infinite ceiling on your potential earnings.
Yeah.
And then you start adding extra tiers. So like you said, you've only got one now, but maybe you double the price and you add a community element to it where you do maybe you don't guarantee you answer everyone's questions, but you do a Q&A or sure, something similar, yeah, to this. Maybe it's more of like a summit style, like lecturing-ish, where you're just delivering content to everybody. And you double the price, and then you double that price and you do some one-to-one stuff. So yeah, that's why I like it, is because it doesn't matter how many people you have, the fulfillment rarely changes, especially on those lower tiers.
Yeah, man. I think you're 100% on. I like it. I'm learning a lot. That's why I was excited to have you on the show to, you know, pick your brain, get some more ideas, but then also send some people your way who are struggling to, you maybe even just get their podcast off the ground and grow it and all those kinds of things. So I do want to welcome some people to leave a comment, obviously, but then also ask a question. So if you have a question of Kane, we'll be here for a few more minutes. Just do a Q colon and ask your question in the chat, or somehow just make sure I know there's a question there. And then also if you're over on Bullhorn, you can, there's a question section and a chat section. So we got James Scott over here saying hello. Let's see. Let me get my mouse to work. Oh yeah, what's up, Billy Bullhorn? Could make a song. Okay, yeah, Billy on Bullhorn. That would be a song, James. Why don't you write it? And then he says, "Ads can kill a podcast. I prefer reads by a host who adds a personal experience as well." Bill Simmons is good at that. Yeah, man, I'm always about those host read ads for sure. I think that's gonna be the best bang for the buck.
Can I ask you a question, Billy?
Yeah, go for it.
What's your opinion on dynamic ads versus baked in ones?
So I sell baked in ads because one, I don't want to deal. I don't sell a CPM model. I don't believe in CPM rates. I think CPM rates are for products that have a shelf life, and I bake everything in. So it doesn't have a shelf life. My content's evergreen. So it's there forever. It gets downloaded every single month. And so I don't have the administrative bandwidth to go through and calculate numbers and send out invoices for eternity. So I do a premium sponsorship model. I get paid once for a lifetime ad spend, and that's how I gear it up. And I've worked with small brands and big brands, and I just don't. I mean, we got our first $10,000 sponsorship deal with 400 total downloads. And so I'm working on a niche audience, a pure audience. Because if I can, you know, if I can come to you and say, hey, Kane, I got 1,000 podcasters listening to my show about podcasting, and that's who you do business with, and I'm going to recommend you, that is way more valuable than you spending that same amount of money putting up a billboard that's going to come down in a week, putting up a Facebook ad that's going to come down in 30 days, you know, being on a podcast where it's in there for 7 days and it gets, you know, 48,000 downloads, but then it gets taken out. It's like, I'm literally setting our sponsors up for life of our show. And that's kind of how I bring the value to them. So I don't.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't do any CPM crap. Like, I think it. And not to mention, man, like, I have a personality. I'm not a newspaper. You know, I'm not a billboard. I'm not a Facebook ad. It's like, dude, I'm interacting. I'm engaging. I'm creating that engagement. So yeah, man, we bake them in and we leave them in there forever. So
awesome. I like that approach.
I might be losing out on some money, but I don't know. What about you? You bake them in, you like dynamically inserted. What do you guys think?
I completely agree in terms of like, you can get a big chunk of change by having a baked in ad, and there's a lot of value there. And one thing that we tell all of our students that go through our training, that's a bit worried about approaching sponsors, is the best thing you can do is change your mindset when you approach a sponsor. Is I'm not a new podcast, is I'm an up and coming podcast. And if you buy like my first, like say 10 episodes for $5,000, whatever it is, so that's the cheapest it will ever be, because I'm serious. I'm going to grow this podcast. This is what I've been able to do previously in my career. You know, I'm an expert. I'm going to get it to this point, and this is the cheapest it will ever be. But in return, I will basically give you my foundational episodes. And anybody who knows podcasting, you know that most people's first episode is their most ever downloaded. That is like gold dust. Like if you owned Joe Rogan's first ever episode, like you could probably sell that as an NFT for like a few mil, to be honest. But
yeah, right?
You could also sell a lot of sponsorship on it, because people do like to go back and see how far creators have come. And they generally start at the top and then they'll just go to the most latest episode. So I do like the idea of selling like a, you know, a big chunk of change for say like a certain amount of episodes. But I am sort of kind of liking the idea of dynamic ads that I can. My argument, it doesn't conflict with yours, because you're saying you don't like CPMs. Whereas the benefit of dynamic ads is the CPM, whereas you know your back catalog of content is still going to be getting downloads. Mm-hmm. So then your CPM, you know, the amount of downloads you're going to be getting is better than if I just said for my next 3 months worth of content. So I like it, and if you're working on a CPM model, but I quite like the fact that you just said that you just don't do them, and that's not how you work, and that's probably why you're securing some good sponsors. So maybe you've converted me. I like the technology, and I think I was getting lost in the glitz and the glam, but maybe old school's the way to do it.
Well, and I think too, it's really based on, you know, I don't like CPM because I don't have a million downloads a month.
Yeah.
If I did, I would probably love CPM. I'd probably price it up. But I still use the CPM rate as a base, and then I add a percentage on top of that. But I think the real value, and we do a similar thing with our first sponsors. What I said was like similar to you, like, hey, you come on with us. We're going to build this thing. We're going to grow it. I had done this once before already. It kind of had that proof of concept already proven. And then my promise was we're going to grandfather you in upon renewals for this first time rate. No matter, like, I don't care if you're sponsored for the next 10 years. And so now we have a couple sponsors signing 52-week episodes versus 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. They're signing 12 months. And so because we're just grandfathering them in, prices have gone up for everyone else. Value's gone up. You know, packages have changed, all that. But these first few that really believed in the show at first are getting that premium, I mean, a super premium deal, because we're growing all the time. But yeah, there might be a day I wake up and I go, you know what? CPM is going to pay me a lot better. However, I don't think I will, because I still have this super niche audience. So I'll probably still just use that. I'll make sure I'm never under a CPM rate. That's for sure. I mean, I definitely check my boxes that way. But yeah, maybe for these first few sponsors, maybe I can make more money off of them, you know, now than I definitely could then. But they believed in me when no one else did. So I'm going to reward them. And that's that relationship aspect of it, right? That's like, that's why they have a whole segment on our show. And that's why we're really like giving them the works when it comes to promoting and all that kind of stuff. And vice versa, man. They promote our show just as much as we do. So it's,
really?
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, one of the benefits early on, they were just like, hey, make, you know, if we didn't post on LinkedIn or Instagram and tag them in it, they were like calling us like, hey, where's the post? Where's the post? We want to share it. And so we had those types of sponsor relationships. But it's because we vetted it out to say, hey, we want the very best relationships here. So, yeah, man. So that's kind of my philosophy. I would spend all day just nerding out on sponsorship talk.
No, I love it.
But cool, man. Let's see. did, I don't know what that question means, by James. It says, did CPM, will never do it again. Oh, he did CPM and will never do it again. So, yeah, that's, and I'm not going to say never. I mean, I might start a show that, that really rips and it's like, okay, this is easy. It's because I get what you're saying. You could sell your past episodes over and over and over and over again.
That's it. It's so, going back to that like investing in property analogy. Like once one tenant leaves, I'll put another one in there and they're going to keep paying me my rent.
Yeah. And of course, and I think the difference that I think is like talking about building community, I'm trying to build that whole entire ecosystem to where when I make that first phone call the first year, or you know, at the beginning of the year, I'll spend 2 weeks at the end of the year setting up the first of the year and basically try to solidify all sponsorships for the entire year. And I'm not chasing around or trying to go on Podcorn or this, that, or some broker and, you know, getting work around or whatever. You know, so I don't know. Who knows? It's all, it's, there's no right or wrong answer. It just depends on what you like to do, I guess.
Definitely. Interesting that I'm actually in the midst of launching a sponsorship platform that's very different to the rest.
Okay.
So 0% cuts either side. So audience gets, or podcaster gets the best rate because they're, you know, we're not taking 10%. Not taking anything off of the sponsor, so they're going to get a better return and return on investment, and they're more likely to do it again. So it's going to be ad, sort of like a job board style. So straight into your email inbox, you get a bunch of like 5-6 different listings of potential sponsors who are interested in your show, and then you get to reach out to them, and then the rest is from there. We'll negotiate rough rates, but you guys can further negotiate your deal because we're not taking a cut. We don't actually care whether it's on our platform or if you do it separately. If you're a really good negotiator like you are, you know, you'd find that stuff useful.
Is that a membership pricing to get into that world? Is that what it is?
No, so because it's a mailing list, it will just have the email sponsored.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, that's awesome.
And then if the sponsor wants to appear at the top of the list, then maybe that's another stream. But at the moment, it's not going to be monetized. We're in pre-launch, probably be launching in a couple of weeks. But yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. But I'm hoping that that's going to help podcasts, because I know what you mean. Things like Podcorn and, you know, a lot of these other brokers, you end up getting a CPM of like £5, $10.
Makes no sense.
Like a fraction of what the industry rate is, and the industry rate's not great anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully that changes things.
Yeah, man. I want to make dollars, not pennies. So I'm like, I'm trying to figure that out and build those really good relationships and renew over and over and over and over and over again. And it's based on quality of community, not quantity of downloads or listens. So man, I'll have you back on then. I would love to dive into more sponsorship talk. That would be super fun. I don't think I've had anybody on. I don't think I've had anybody scheduled either. So maybe we put that on the calendar for later to kind of compare notes and talk about the difference of CPM versus, you know, baked in ads. And then also when you guys launch a new platform, we could talk about that as well. That'd be cool. Show us how it works.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Love to.
All right. Well, Kane, is there anything that we didn't talk about as far as communities that you wanted to share that we didn't set you up to say?
No, I think we covered the majority of it. I mean, I'm sure we could go on for hours and hours in down a rabbit hole, but I think we covered the headlines.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, Kane, real quick, man, let us know how we can get in touch with you, where people can find you and connect and all those fun things.
Hey, look, you can get me on Instagram at TheKaneBaron or find me on my podcast, The Podcasters Podcast.
All right. The Podcasters Podcast, man. I like it. Pretty straightforward. You know what it's about. You know who it's for.
That's it.
Can't beat it. I'm gonna subscribe. I don't even think I've subscribed. I gotta go check it out. So
I appreciate it. We're just in a hiatus. We were weekly, we're now gonna go daily. So
dude, welcome.
It should be fun.
Welcome to the daily yeah, grind, man.
You're the inspiration.
I don't know about that. But yeah, it's gonna be fun. Well, Kane, I really appreciate you, man. Thanks for jumping on, and we'll talk to you a little later. Appreciate that.
Appreciate it. Yep. Thank you.
All right, guys and gals, that is it for today on Creating Daily. Such a fun conversation. So there you go. Start focusing on building that community. A couple of the takeaways that I had was, one, to really build that community from the very beginning. So even on this show right now, hey, go, you know, subscribe to the podcast, go follow the podcast, shoot me an email, go to onesheet.pro/Billy Thorpe and send me an idea. If you get a question, I'll answer it on the show. I really like that concept. I think it's great to start building that relationship, that community. So I'm 1 month in, so 5 months, I might have a membership lined up for you guys. But if you haven't already, please do subscribe either here on YouTube, on Bullhorn, or if you're listening to the replay on a podcast player, hit that follow button and join me tomorrow. I got my co-host, my friend Sid Meadows on the show tomorrow, because tomorrow's Friday. Always love having a co-host on the show. And so he's going to be on. We're going to be talking about how do you set up a creative collaboration. He and I have both been collaborators with each other, and we've also been collaborators with other people. Ones that went really good, ones that went really bad. We're not going to get into details, but maybe we'll share some lessons learned and give you some tips on how to work with other people, other creators, on these projects. That way you can make the most of it, have the most amount of success. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks so much for watching. 2 p.m. Ready? Go. Mark it on your calendar for tomorrow. See ya.